Okay, so first of all, I'm Yona Chazan. Nice meeting all you guys. It's good to get to know the Sephardim on campus. I should come by the Sephardim Beit Midrash more often. Unfortunately, I don't. Okay. So first of all, I just want to say that Dan Cohen, or Rabbi Cohen, or Rabbi Dan, however you refer to him. So there's an interesting story between the two of us that I want to share.
Before you tell any secrets.
So I learned in Yeshiva Shayashiv 10 years ago and 9 years ago, and then I went to the Mir Yeshiva in Israel. So I'm sure many of you heard of the Mir Yeshiva in Jerusalem. There's when I left it was 7,000. The last time I saw, I don't know if it's true, but in the Hamudiyah it said 9,000 students. 9,000. I don't know if it's really 9,000, but it's around 9,000, that's for sure. So when I was in the Mir Yeshiva, I get a phone call from Rabbi Fisher. So who's Rabbi Fisher? Fisher is a tzaddik, one of the tzaddikim of the generation. Also, he's not a Sephardi, but he's probably the Jew that loves Sephardim the most from anyone in the world. So Rabbi Fisher was my rabbi in Shayashiv, and he was his rabbi in Shayashiv, but at different times, because we didn't overlap in the Yeshiva. I was there first, and then I went to Israel, and then Rabbi Cohen went there. So I get a phone call from Rabbi Fisher. Says, you know, there's a guy coming to the Mir, Dan Cohen. He's a Sephardi guy. I want you to take care of him. You know, it's a big place, the Mir. You could get lost. A lot of times people go to the Mir, they get, they get intimidated. Oh, it's such a big place, big buildings, everything. So Dan Cohen comes right away, introduced myself to him. You know, I saw the face shining when he walked into the Beit Midrash. I said, oh, that's Dan Cohen.
Yeah.
And right away we connected. And I remember, you know, I showed him around, and we really, and eventually, Baruch Hashem, you know, he settled in. So several years later, like 5 years later, I was speaking to Ray Fisher. I was at a wedding. Actually a friend, Shimon Adler from Great Neck, I was telling you about. So I was at Shimon Adler's wedding, and I was speaking to Ray Fisher. I said, you know, I was married for like almost a year at the time. And I said, Rebbe, I'm learning at a small kollel in New Jersey, but I want to go to a smicha program. I don't want to just learn in a kollel. You know, I want to get smicha. She tells me, go to YU. I said, YU? YU's a college. They have a yeshiva there in YU? He says, YU? YU has one of the biggest smicha programs. They make rabbis. They have rabbis all over the country, over the world. You gotta go to YU. So I said, I don't know anyone in YU. She says, oh, there's a guy there. He's like, you remember Dan Cohen? I don't even remember. Of course I remember Dan Cohen. I said, go to Dan Cohen. He's going to take care of you. So like 5 years later, 6 years of me, it was 6 years later, I came to YU. I didn't know anyone here. No one. And Dan was here. I remember he showed me around the campus, the yeshiva, this, that, everything. So it's amazing how, you know, sometimes Ashkacha Prati that God does, you know. It's mamash midah keneged midah. You know, Hashem, I obviously Rabbi Fisher was one of me, the shidduch in the beginning. But Baruch Hashem, so now it's good to be together with Rabbi Cohen over here. We used to learn Rav Shimshon Pinkis. We haven't learned in a while. Maybe we should get back.
Yeah,
So Rabbi Cohen told me to talk about something that I could be passionate about and that I could try to connect with everyone. So I want to start like this. Remember when I was younger, I was in yeshiva. I was in yeshiva high school, like a pretty religious place, like a Litvish yeshiva. And remember when I was in high school, we used to have mandatory Seder on Shabbat. Mandatory Seder on Shabbat. So the truth is that when you're a high school kid, and during the week you're already in school the whole day, come Shabbat, you don't want to think about school. You don't want to think about yeshiva, Torah, not Torah, I don't want to think about school. So I remember they used to push us on Shabbat, and I used to hate it. I used to feel like, why, they're forcing me to do something I don't want to do. It's Shabbat, it's one day of rest, I have the whole week. How many days, one day of rest we have. So that was when I was a high school kid. So eventually, as time progressed, I got a little older, I was already, in my young 20s, and I was in the mirror when I was 21, and I remember I had a friend, who was also a chavruta of mine. He said, tell me, Yonah, why don't you come learn on Shabbat? Come to the yeshiva on Shabbat, Friday night, there's a few hundred guys learning in the Beit Midrash. So he said, it's a real kol Torah, really, it's a vibrant crowd, vibrant studying of Torah in the Beit Midrash Friday night. He said, why don't you join us? I said, Baruch, come on, man, leave me alone. I want to sleep, I got to eat my sunflower seeds, I got to read my paper, I got to chill, I don't want to hear about it. So then, eventually, I started learning with a friend on Thursday nights, a friend that's a big Talmid Chacham, big tzaddik. And I asked him, I said, I know you're busy, you're learning a lot, maybe we could learn once a week. He says, yeah, let's learn Thursday nights. We'll learn at 11, I think it was 11:30, maybe, or at 12. Very late at night, so we can learn for half an hour Thursday night. Because the minhag, I'm sure many guys know, Thursday nights, you know, there's no bedtime Thursday nights. You know, Thursday nights is adalot ha-shachar until the morning. So we learned this sefer right here, Sefer Shem Olam. So what's this? What's this book? Who wrote this book? It's the Hafetz Chaim wrote this book. So who's the Hafetz Chaim? So I'm sure we all know the Hafetz Chaim, Shmirat HaLashon, Mishnah Berurah. There are many books contribute to Hafetz Chaim. Right? What's his name? Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan. So Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan was a big rabbi in Europe, and he wrote a lot of books. He wrote many, many books. Many books we know, and a lot of them we don't even know about. He wrote many, many books. And the famous ones are the Mishnah Berurah, which is Halakha, and Ashkenazim, it's a Halakha that Ashkenazim follow a lot. And the Hafetz Chaim and Shmirat HaLashon, which talks about, you know, speaking Lashon Hara and all that, the you know, using a mouth properly. But this book, no one heard of it, Shem Olam. Not many people, it's a low-key, very low-key book. So my friend said, this is what we're going to learn this book. I said, why this book? He said, because it talks about different topics about life, general topics in life that are important to be aware of. General topics in life. So in the fifth chapter, he discusses learning Torah on Shabbat. So right away when my friend, you know, we were learning it, we got to this chapter right away, you know, I got scared, you know. I was like, maybe we should skip it, let's go to another chapter, maybe we should, you know, but my friend said, no. He said, this, we're going to get to this chapter, it's going to be relevant, it's going to be important, it's going to be meaningful, and it's really going to change your life. So basically, he starts off over here, he brings down the tour. You know, the tour is one of the big rabbis in Halakha, one of the Yishonim. He basically says, he brings down that the Torah asked God. The Torah had a question to God. He said, let me ask you a question. When the Jews go to Eretz Israel, right? The Jews didn't go to Eretz Israel. They're in the land of Israel. So they're going to be involved with the vineyards. They're going to be involved with the olive gardens. They're going to be working the land. They're going to be building. So he says, what's going to be with me? Right? What's going to happen to me? I'm the Torah. I'm valuable. I'm just going to, you know, they're going to take care of everything in the land. They're not going to take care of me. So God said, no, don't worry about it. Shabbat yeh ben zugach. Shabbat will be your pair. Shabbat will be your, you know, a zug, the pair. You and Shabbat, you're going to be together. You're never going to be separated. And similarly, there's a Gemara in Yerushalmi, right? The Gemara, there's Bavli and Yerushalmi. There's two. We learned the Bavli, which is more relevant to us. Bezat Hashem, we should all master the Bavli and then learn the Yerushalmi, Bezat Hashem. So the Gemara Yerushalmi says that Shabbat and Yom Tov was only given, it's very sharp, was only given to us, to the Jewish nation, so we could be Osek in Torah. We could learn Torah. Shabbat and Yom Tov was only given to us, not so we could have good Moroccan or Persian or Iraqi or Syrian food. That's obviously important. But it was given to us, so what? We should learn Torah. That's what it said in the Gemara. I'm not making it up. It's right here. See, he basically goes on to explain that, right? I'm sure all you guys know, in a regular work week, you guys have classes, you have college, some days you're in school till, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. You wake up early, you go to sleep late, especially when it's midterms, finals, forget about it, the day is the night is the day, nothing, right? Craziness. So, you know, fast forward a little bit, try to envision your life in 5 years from now, Bezat Hashem. You know, even less, some of you are maybe graduating less than 5 years, 3 years, 2 years. You're going to go out, you're going to start working, right? Bezat Hashem, you're going to get married, you're going to have kids. So between your job, between all your responsibilities with your family, your wife, your kids, you know, people, during the week, people don't have time to learn. People have, I'll tell you a personal example. Myself, I'm learning in the yeshiva, I'm learning in the kollel. You know, I try to learn as much as I can during the day, the whole day. You know, that's really what I'm, at least what I'm able, still able to do now, Baruch Hashem, I have the zechut. But in the summer, this summer, I was working very hard. I was running a day camp, and I was the director, I was the head counselor, I was the main guy. And I was working, I was preparing, I was dealing with parents, I was dealing with scheduling, I was dealing with this, with that, and buses, and money, and, you know, and a few weeks into the summer, I realized, I said, I went from learning X amount of hours a day to learning, there would be days that would go by, and I didn't even open up a book, and I was, like, embarrassed. I felt, I'm telling you the truth, this is because, you know, I need to work on myself, you know, and I felt like, so over here, the Chafetz Chaim is telling us, that when we get to that stage in life and we start working and we're involved in things that are our responsibilities, and things that we have to do. So unfortunately, we don't have time to learn, which is, it's a normal thing. He's telling you, it's a normal thing, you know. Person doesn't have to feel guilty that they're not learning the whole day, because you have to feed your family and you have to... But he says, that's why we have Shabbat. Shabbat comes, right at the end of the week, the Shabbat comes. There's no iPhone, there's no laptop, there's no iPad, you know. There's nothing. So what's Shabbat? So of course, Shabbat, we have to rest, we have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to enjoy ourselves, we have to be... You know, we have to get Menuchat HaNefesh. Shabbat is the day that God stopped all the work. We have to stop all the work. But he says Shabbat is also the day, like it's like we just quoted from the Torah and from the Gemara and Yerushalmi, Shabbat is the day of Limud Torah. Okay, so he goes on to explain. Yeah, so far so good. He goes on to explain that there's a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Bechol derechecha da'ehu. In all your ways, you should know God. It means everything you do, you should know God. Right? We always say that. God is watching us for everywhere we are. You know, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Right? Because it's the truth. You know, sometimes we think there isn't, you know, the camera's not watching. But the camera's always watching. So in all our ways, we have to know God. But besides for that, so that seems like a little bit tough, right? We have to, everything we do, we have to be aware of God. You know, it's a little scary. But then the second half of the Pasuk is comforting. V'hu yeyasher Ochotecha. If you do that, he's going to pave the way for you. He's going to make it smooth. He's going to make it straight. He's going to make it easy for you. So God says, you know, you remember me, but I'm going to remember you also. So it's, you know, it's a two-way street. So it's good. So how do we tie that into Shabbat? So he says that if a person, the whole person spends the whole week working, and comes Shabbat and they say, you know, I'm going to learn on Shabbat, and I look forward to my, you know, the rabbi, I'm sure Rabbi Cohen gives shiurim on Shabbat, I'm sure there's programming, there's things, whatever goes on, you look forward to that shiur, you look forward to that seder, that habuta, whatever you have on Shabbat, you look forward to it the whole week. You say, you know, I can't wait for Shabbat, I can't wait to study to get closer to God. So what happened in essence, the whole entire week, the working that you did was what? It was because you had to. But really, your focus, your ahava, what you love, what you want to connect with God, is you're learning Torah on Shabbat. So God makes it as if the whole entire week is considered kadosh. The whole entire week is considered holy. Because you're showing God that when I have a few hours of spare time, my focus is on the Torah. My focus is on getting close to you. So God says, listen, this guy, right? It's not his fault. He has to work 6 days a week. Okay? Obviously, if he wasn't working 6 days a week, the whole week would be kadosh, the whole week would be kadosh, the whole week would be Torah, because that's what he cares about on his spare time. So it's almost as if you're judged by what you do in your spare time. You're judged, but you know, and then the whole week becomes kadosh. And he gives a great mashal. He says, imagine you have you build a $100 million building. You know, $100 million building in Manhattan. You say, now I'm gonna have 200 apartments. I'm gonna sell them. I'm gonna sell them for $1 million a piece. I'm going to make $200 million. $100 million investment, you get $200 million. It's pretty good, right? So you're working for 5 years, and the contractors and the construction company, and everyone's coming down, they put up the building. Finally, the building is up, ready to go. You take a giant padlock, you lock in, and you throw the key away. And your friends tell you, what are you, crazy? Mishuga? You just built a $100 million building. What's wrong with you? No, don't worry about it. So what do you mean, don't worry about it? Well, how are you going to make your money back? You sell the apartments, you open up the doors, the building's going to get full, you're going to make $200 million. She says, that's the same exact thing as us. We work the whole week, we work, we invest $100 million. So all we need to do is we need to just do that last final thing. We got to sell the apartments. We got to come on Shabbat. When all the work is done, we're going to say, okay, what am I doing now? Oh, learning the Torah. $200 million in your pocket. Not only did you get back what you earned, even more, you got even more. So he says, he brings down a lot of different mikorot, a lot of different sources. Okay, a lot of different sources. It basically repeats the same idea. So we'll leave it at that. He brings different sources for the same idea. But I want to tell you just a few stories. So when I was learning the Mir Yeshiva, so I remember. I was going to Shiur. I was listening to the class every day from my rabbi, Rabbi Wachshel, and I remember there were points where I had a very hard time. Sometimes I would really get the Shiur clear, but there were times where I would really I wasn't getting it. You know, and I really was bothering me. Like, I'm in yeshiva the whole day. I'm really spending time. I want to get it clear. You know, you want to have a tefisah. You want to be able to get it clear. So I spoke to my rabbi. I said, this was around the same time I started learning this. So he tells me, Yonah, you learn on Shabbat. What do you do on Shabbat? You prepare the Gemara a little bit. I said, Shabbat, leave me alone. You know, I got to chill on Shabbat. He says, what do you mean you got to chill on Shabbat? He says, every Friday night, prepare the Gemara ahead a little bit, a few lines, maybe a half an amud, you know, spend an hour, 2 hours, whatever you can, and learn the Gemara, and prepare it on Shabbat, and you're going to get a certain clarity that when you come during the week, you're going to already have the limud of Shabbat, and it's going to help you. I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. What did I lose, right? And, you know, and then I learned this, and then I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Finally, you know, it took me, the Yetzer Hara has his ways, you know? So sometimes you know something, you don't really do it, because the Yetzer Hara knows it's something, you're able to really accomplish something, and it's really able to help you. Yetzer Hara makes sure to smack you around, to push you in corners, doesn't want you to accomplish. So, you know, I needed my rabbi to tell me, I needed my friend to tell me, I needed to learn the Sefer. And finally, I said, okay, I'm going to make the commitment, I'm going to learn Shabbat. And then from then on, I had a clarity of mind that was unbelievable. I just bumped in on the way here. I bumped into a friend, Justin Wexler. I don't know if any of you guys know him. He used to be in YU in Smicha. He got a Smicha, and now he's working. So he said, oh, what are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about Shabbat. He said, I got to tell you two things you have to share with the Tzibur. So the first thing is that the Ger Rebbes, right? There's a Hasidut called Ger. And they go back many generations back to Europe. And they, you know, they have all the Ger Rebbes have a tradition, I guess, from the first Ger Rebbe, whatever it was, that if we learn Torah on Shabbat, the most complicated sugya, the hardest limud, the hardest thing that a person really can't understand, on Shabbat the person gonna have clarity. So he heard this, and he said, "Wow, there's a certain Gemara he was learning, and he couldn't wrap his head around it. He couldn't get it. It just wasn't going in." So he said, "He waited for Shabbat, and he told me. He said, I promise you. He says this is." He learned on Shabbat, and he said he had a clarity of mind he never imagined he would even get in this Gemara. So this is the power. It's the power. And then he quoted another Rebbe. He said last week he was by a Rebbe in Borough Park who said that just like during the week, do melacha, we work. Shabbat, it's asur to do melacha. So too in learning, on Shabbat, quote unquote, just like we're not allowed to do melacha in our work, on Shabbat we're not do melacha in our learning. Meaning our learning will come easy because you're not allowed to work too hard on Shabbat. Says from the, he told me the name, one of the rebbes. So listening to a shul like this, we have to realize, you know, going 100% is, sometimes a person says, oh, now I'm going to learn on Shabbat 20 hours. The Yetzer Hara wants to try to fool us. So, the best thing to do is instead of going and learning 10 hours on Shabbat, you know, going from 0 to 60, I'm sure a lot of you guys learn on Shabbat already, but it's important in life to realize that wherever we're holding, whatever we do, we always have to work in little steps, little increments, a little bit at a time. If we do too much, what happens? We push too much, then it's like a slingshot. We end up getting pushed back 100 miles back. So the best thing to do is always to increment, a little bit at a time. So, you know, if I could give etzah, if I could give advice, you know, whatever we're doing, whatever we're studying on Shabbat, if we can, obviously, you know, we have to really be up to it. A little bit, a few minutes here, a shiur there, havutah, maybe 15 minutes. Sometimes I know it helps. I know for myself, it helps. If I have a havutah Friday night, I'm going to learn with someone for 20 minutes, half an hour. Then I know he's going to be there, I know I'm going to be there. We're both going to show up, hopefully. Even if he misses, at least I think he's going to be there, so I show up. But if there's no study partner, then you know, I'm going to learn, and then I end up falling asleep on the couch and then going to bed. So it's something to keep in mind, you know, to try and make a commitment if possible, to try to work on, but not to do too much, because if we do too much, then it doesn't work. Nothing goes. Okay, so this is the thought I wanted to share this with you. Zakamaru. Yeah, you turn this off. Bottom.